Wonderful to see you this morning. It's kind of, you travel around and maybe 3 or 4 weeks pass and you kind of meet one and you kind of go, is that the way you look? It's doing that when we're wearing those masks. You know, when we came in here 2.5 years ago, everybody was wearing masks. So when we finally de-mask, I was looking at people kind of going, wow, that's what you look like. Wow. I do that every morning, truthfully, when I look in the mirror. I'm not sure. I'm not going to tell you the results of my evaluation, but I will just know that it happens. So Hebrews, we're back in the book of Hebrews. You know, it's a powerful book. It's a book bringing the Old and the New Testament together. Some people say, there's a collision course in that. I don't really think of it as a collision course. It's more of just a harmonic melding and melody that God created in His Word from the very beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation. You know, just so awesome. And when I think about, Act 1, Act 2, if you've ever been to a play or read a book or whatever, you always have these things they set up, And if you... When we're in Ohio, we would go see the kids do these plays. I forget the names of some of them, but they'd have their act one, and you kind of get to know the characters a little bit, kind of character building, kind of getting into the plot a little bit and tying things together, and then they'll break and then they'll come back for the second act. And then the second act carries it on, and then, of course, it brings it to end. Everything comes to an end on that second way. And depending on who wrote it and all that stuff is whether it's a really good ending or not. And that's really what you go away with at the end. You always think about the ending. Sometimes they have cliffhangers, things like that. But usually there's some type of a conclusion. And so we have to live with that. And, it could be something, a joyous one, or it could be even a sad one, too. But if you ever miss the first act and you walk in and, you kind of, whoops, what's going on here? It's kind of like when Joe and I are watching TV and I get distracted with something and something happens. I go, hey, what was that? What's that? And Joe goes, I said, can you tell me what happened? What did they say? And she goes, I'm not telling you, I'm not telling you, you got to pay attention yourself. I go, rewind, that type of thing. Once in a while, to rewind. Sometimes there's no rewind, and keep on going. But so if you miss it, in the Bible, there's Act 1 and Act 2. Did you know that? Because the Old Testament, you say, is Act 1, So if you miss Act 1, you miss a lot. It's kind of hard for you to catch up, get up to speed with Act 2, which is the New Testament. So if you haven't read Act 1, the Old Testament, I really encourage you to read it because it's all one play. It's one story that God is writing. And He's saying, you got to meet the characters. You got to meet me, and what I'm doing and my grace and my mercy throughout all this history of these guys who are called the Israelites. And then you meet them. Meet God in person in Christ in the New Testament and see what He does there and how He lives amongst the people. Again, God, His goal is that He wants to dwell amongst His people. That's really what His goal is. He wants us to draw near to Him, but He's going to draw near to us. And a lot of times, there's difficulty in that because there's sin involved in our lives and He has to take care of that first. And that's what this story is about, this redemption story from the very beginning to end. You got Adam and Eve falling and all that and all the sin carried on after that, taking us away from a close relationship with the Father to be able to walk with Him. Can't do that. So He has to have somebody to come and help. And that's what this author in Hebrews is writing about. The true author is the Father in heaven, right? He's by the power of the Holy Spirit, He's inspiring this person, whoever wrote Hebrews, to write it, to teach them these things, teach us things about God and to draw us closer to Him. It's interesting, too, back in this first century when this was being written, You know, the Jewish people, you know, they had their high priest, and they had their temple, and they had their daily sacrifices. They sacrifice in the morning and in the evening. And then they would probably, you know, I can see, you know, looking at these Jewish converts into Christianity, and they're kind of going, well, what are you doing? This is so much better, so much more solid. I mean, look, we can do things, we can touch things, we got these ceremonies, we got these rules, we got the laws, we got all these rituals and things like that. What do you got? You're walking by faith, not by sight. What's that about? How can you grab hold of that? Oh, we got much more solid thing than you do. And then in AD 70, what happened? Well, the Romans got a little rowdy and took down all Jerusalem and the temple with it. And so even today, there's no high priest in Israel. There are no daily sacrifices. There's no temple. So whose religion is solid? If you want to call Christianity a religion, which it isn't. It's a faith walk, right? It is a relationship. Jews, the Jews and the Muslims and the Hindus and Buddhists and all that, you know, they have religion because it's man-made. They're trying to reach God. They're trying to follow certain things so they can be good enough to reach God, or some of them don't even believe in God, and they're just saying just to have a better life, being reincarnated into a better life, or just to be without suffering. So as Christians, though, we have a faith walk, a relationship with the Creator God that allows us to grow, to fail, and to be restored, allows us to live and to live life not just here, but for eternity with Him. Forgiven and as sons and daughters of the Most High God, which is awesome, really, when you think about it. So today we're going to be looking at this. You know, really, what Hebrews comes down to is this. Can we trust God? Can we be confident and trust God? That's really what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to right here. Can we be confident and trust that God has our best interest in His concern? Let's pray before we go on. Father God, again, we come before You and You with Your word. We ask that Your Holy Spirit will move and give me words and the guidance I need, Lord, to be able to present this message in a way that will bring honor and glory to Your name, that will touch our hearts and guide our walk with You and remind us and encourage us and challenge us into a closer walk with You. So bless this time, and may You receive that glory and honor in it. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So that's the question. These guys are hanging up. Can we be confident and trust God? I mean, who's trusting who here? Maybe they're all trusting that little rope that they're holding on to, right? They actually, and it might not be one another. Okay, a lot of times we're hanging on like that, you know, our lives. And maybe you're the last person, and that's the hands are getting sweaty, and you go, don't let go. You know, how many scenes have we seen people going, don't let go, it falls off into the depths of the abyss, right? We don't want that for anybody. This kind of went off a little bit. But as we go into, as we look at this passage here, we see the new and the old coming together. And we need to discuss what a covenant is first. A covenant is really just a contract. All right, and God, he manages his kingdom by covenants. Did you notice that? All the covenants He's made with the people, like, you know, Noah, you know, He had a covenant with him, right? Not to flood the earth anymore. He set up the rainbow. He had a covenant with Abraham. They call it Abrahamic covenant, and that covenant is still going today, right? Being a blessing to the nations with Christ, with that good news that he gave Abraham to move through all his descendants and moves to us today. And then there's this one called the Mosaic Covenant, and that is with Moses. And that's when they went to the mountain and they had the what? What is that? The Ten Commandments. And a lot of times when we think about the Old Covenant, this is what we're looking at, okay? Because the Abrahamic one is still going on, even though some of it was fulfilled back then, but it still carries on today. And there's conditional and unconditional covenants. Conditional is, you know, where they say, if you, then I. If you do this, if you're faithful, then I will bless you, right? That's conditional. And if you look in I think it's chapter 15 of Genesis, where God met Abraham one more during that time, and he was reassuring him that he's going to give him the land. It was an unconditional covenant with him, where he said, it's not relying upon you. He just walked, you know, he had Abraham cut the animals in half and set them offside. And what they do in those days, they made a covenant one another, and they would walk through it together, whoever was making a agreement with one another or a contract with one another. And it's really what it's saying is, if you fail to keep your end of the covenant, may you be slashed in half just like these animals. So when God met Abraham, or Abram at that time, he said, you know, he didn't allow Abraham or Abram to walk with him through that, but the flame, what the torch and the pot went through those cut up animals, cut in half animals. Because it was God alone saying, I will give you this land. And there was no if and then. Well, this covenant is a lot of ifs. All right, the old covenant was placed in there, you know, to guide. You know, it was a beneficial, it was a good and holy covenant. Nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. In fact, they are still alive today in what we call the what? Do you remember? What? Where are the Ten Commandments? Did they just get erased? Where are they? Come on. The two what? The two greatest commandments. Oh, come on, you guys. It's all about love. It's a law of love. And you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love and love. What? Also love your neighbors as yourself. Well, all that is found in the Ten Commandments. So that didn't disappear. Okay. So people going, oh, what's going on? The old covenant, they got rid of it. No, and a lot of the Jews were getting after Jesus and all the other people who were teaching about who he was. They're going, no, you're going against it. And I'm going, no. What has changed? Now you just have, now you have your Messiah who makes it all happen, right? So you got this Old Testament, and you're kind of, what are they going to do with this? What happened with that Old Testament? I mean, Old Testament, Old Covenant. Well, as we look a little bit further down, there in verse 7, it says, for if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. Well, so was there something wrong with that covenant? No. The covenant was fine as it was. The problem was, is the next verse. But God found fault. That's the issue. God found fault, not with the covenant, but with the people he made the covenant with. Because why? What do you think? What was happening? I mean, what? What's that? They couldn't keep the commandments. You do this, you love me, and you love your neighbor, and I'll bless you. And if you look at Deuteronomy, I think it is chapter 28, read that. That's where the blessings and the curses are. right? And there's probably, of course, there's more in the Bible too, in Genesis or whatever, look in there, or Exodus. But that is there. You know, so if you keep this, and you will be blessed. Well, they couldn't keep it perfectly. So, but you know, with God's plan and all, the old covenant, he didn't mean it to be a permanent covenant. And as you read a little bit there in, about the tabernacle, there, and then it says in verse 5, it says, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. Well, the same thing with this covenant. See, this covenant, the old covenant, or the old, what is that, the Ten Commandments, and all those laws and rules that went along with it, were there for the benefit of the Israelites. They could not follow it, but it was pointing forward to something more that was better. Okay? It's like, they say, well, it's like a type, right? It is a type, you know, or a shadow, a copy. Here it is on earth. You guys, this is what it looks like to live perfectly. No, you can't do it, but this is what it looks like. And it's pointing all to someone who's coming, who can fulfill it perfectly in his life. It's amazing, really, how that happens there. So the covenant in itself was fine. People had issues, sinful, you know, just couldn't keep up with the Ten Commandments, heart issues going on there. You know, it's just all this, you know, the lack of trust, really. And that comes down to the old Adam and Eve syndrome, where they didn't think that God had their best interest in mind. So they sinned. They disobeyed. That's all, yeah. And that's what we deal with every moment in our lives. I know I do. Do I trust God in this or not? A lot of times we get all shaky and stuff like that. We get all frustrated, like what Will was saying and stuff like that. You know, this morning, you know, we go, why is this happening? What was it God doing and stuff like that? But, you know, all it really is coming back to Adam and Eve and just saying, I don't trust that you have my best interest in mind. Or I don't trust that you have her or his best interest in mind. That's what we're saying. And so we have to go back and look at who this awesome God is. See, he set this covenant up to help the Israelites, to start them off and point them in the right direction, because what he was doing, really, what the law did, if you looked at Romans 3:20, the law did what? What did the law do? Showed them what? Showed them that they're sinful. We're in desperate need of a Savior. That's what that covenant was really about. Saying, guys, here's perfect life. I know you can't live it, but here it is. And deal with it. But I'm going to point you to one who will deal with it. Will deal with your sin. Somebody that you can trust in. Somebody that's coming in the future. Your Messiah. And so the old covenant did its job. And it's still living today, even though it says here it's obsolete and fading. But I say, well, it's obsolete to where we don't have to follow the laws. But actually, the law of love is really what we follow. And that's the Ten Commandments right here. Still following. Doing it in a little bit different way. We're not sacrificing and doing rituals and all that stuff. But we are sacrificing ourselves and our own lives unto God. Our whole body. Sometimes you have to sacrifice your time to show love to somebody. Or sacrifice your finances. Or whatever, you know, there are things that you, or sacrifice the opportunity to judge somebody or get down on somebody, you know, to say those words that we know will be penetrating and hurt them. But then you say, no, I won't do that. It's like you sacrifice, like you bring that sacrifice before the altar. It says, I'm not going to let my pride get in my way of my walk, my humble walk with the Lord. So the old covenant did have its day, and it's still working in parts through the law of love. But now there's something better coming. See, even back then, 600 years before Christ was born on this earth, this guy named Jeremiah spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here, let me turn back to that. If I can find it here. Jeremiah. And actually, you know, what he's talking about back then, he's talking about restoration for Israel. And because the old covenant could not bring salvation, because it could not redeem, it could not sanctify, it could not justify, it could not get them to have a heart motivated to follow the Lord completely in full trust, then God came up with a better plan. Now he's pointing them in the right direction. They're desperate. They're going, we need help. I'm getting tired of these sacrifices day after day. I got to bring these, or year after year, we got to come and watch the high priest going to there. We don't know if he's going to die and he meets God or not. They tie a rope on him. They got bells on him. He dies in there before the Lord. They got to pull him out. If they try to enter themselves, they'll get toasted. All right? So you got all these things going on there. No. He has a better way now, something that he was setting up. And he starts talking about it there with Jeremiah. And we see it even in there in Hebrews 8. You know, these are the words of Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. See, there's their I will. See, now with a covenant, there's a lot of promises in there, right? So you got that agreement, and there's promises to hold up that in that agreement. So first of all, he's saying, well, this heart language now is no longer relying upon externals like the sacrifices and the rituals and the laws that you follow and all that stuff as much. Now it's going right here, boink, inside. Because the external one just isn't enough for us to change our hearts. We need something else to change us, to turn us to God, to where we will trust in Him. So he makes the first I wills with Israel and Judah, and he's saying, well, what about us? Well, if you go back to that principle of the Jews, first for the Jews. I said first to the Jews, but it should be first for the Jews. And you look at that, and if you went to Romans there in 2:9-11, there, I can turn to that. I think I marked that. Yep. And it says this. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Did you know that you're a Gentile? Do you like that? You're a Gentile. All right? So we are a Gentile. We're not Jews. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for us. For God does not show favoritism. So the principle is, it goes first to God. If you notice, when Jesus came and started his ministry, who was he going to? He's going to the Jewish people, right? He was talking to the Jewish people. Now, along the way, once in a while, there'd be a Gentile mixed up in there, but it's mainly to the Jewish people. And when the church started, it was focused upon the Jewish people. And some proselytes, some people who were Gentiles, who became Jew. So they were going there first. But then it started going from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, which still has a mix of Jews in their Jewish blood, and then to the ends of the earth, which is you and me. We're the ends of the earth. Did you know that? How do you feel about that? Back then, You were and still are. You know, I mean, I think if they're thinking, whoa, you're the ends of the earth, you guys really are. It's actually kind of fun to think about. The ends of the earth. Who would have thought about that? So this new thing going on here. So I will. He's going to put his laws in our hearts and minds. You know, and if you look at Ezekiel, another prophet who spoke a long time ago. Let's see if I can find that one. That was actually a very powerful message that he gave there. If I can find it, Mr. Ezekiel. I'm going to mark that. And it says this. This is Ezekiel's word. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Did you hear that? All right, so first of all, he's going to give us a new heart. All right, now it's not this external thing of where they're chiseled stone. You know, the Ten Commandments were first chiseled out on stone, and then they wrote them down on papyrus and all that on paper, you know, that type of stuff. Okay, all you can read, and that's interesting, but it could never get down into the heart. Not to most, maybe some, not to most. But now he's going, I'm going to go right here, and I'm going to stir things up in your heart. I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to put a new spirit in you. What do you think that spirit is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's a new spirit in you. You're going to have something new going on in you as you follow Christ, or you decide to follow Christ, you confess your sins, and you repent and believe. You have a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone. So no longer that heart of stone that causes us to distrust God and not want to know him. That doesn't, you know, that falls away more and more. And then it says, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now that's something that we really didn't have before. The Holy Spirit, because when we're trying to do it on our own, you know, the rituals and, you know, trying to do the do's and do's, I can do this, I'll look good. If I do this, this will give me more points, I'll look good to you, God. That's a lot of people preach that. There's a lot of works, salvation, but no, you can't work to be saved. It is by grace alone. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. But now he's moving us. Now he's taking the internal intervention. He's getting the AED machine and boom. He's shocking our hearts and saying, now you got a new thing going on. You got a new spirit. I got your Holy Spirit. You got a new heart moving here. And now you're going to start being able to follow this law of love a lot more closely. Are you going to fail? You're going to fall down sometimes. But I'm going to help you. You're not on your own anymore. You don't have to do all these rituals, carry those stones and penitence and things like that anymore. No, now you just have to open up your heart. Now you just have to open up your heart and get real with me. That's what the Father is saying. So it's powerful. And, you know, now he's saying, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's what he's looking for, you know. He wants to be with us. You know, a holy nation, we're his special inheritance, right? Our a possession to him that he loves. And he's going to forgive our wickedness, and remember our sins no more. Now, I got a feeling God will always know our sin, but it's just not in effect anymore. Just like when somebody sins against us, it's hard to forget that sin, isn't it? It is. But it doesn't mean that you can't forgive them, and then it's kind of like, yeah, I know you sinned against me, but it has no effect on me anymore. It's like you never even did it. Though it's still there, I kind of remember, or I remember my own sin. I still kind of remember it. but it doesn't affect anymore because I've given it to the Lord and He has forgiven me. That's a wonderful thing. That's what starts it all off, to where it will motivate our hearts to even seek after a closer relationship with the Lord. So then you come into this Hebrews and going, well, what about that? So you got the old covenant, which did its job, and now you got this new covenant, and this whole new thing is happening. Now it's happening inside us to empower us in our walk, to walk a walk that is closer to God in a way that will bring honor and glory to His name. That's what we got. That's new covenant stuff. You know, Jesus, you know, when He comes, you know, when we have communion, He says, well, here's my body. Here's the bread representing my body. You know, I'm dying on the cross for you. And here's my blood. Here's the new covenant. I shed it for you for the atonement of your sins, to erase all your sin. That's the new covenant. That's the new covenant here, working right here. All that power of what Christ did on the cross for us, it's working right here by the power of the Holy Spirit, changing us. I don't know about you, but if you're following Christ, I look back at my life, and I go, man, who was that guy? I'm not saying I'm anything great now, but boy, if you knew me back then, you'd go, woo, this guy's got some issues. He's going to end up in jail. I should have ended up in jail, all right? I should have. I'm one of those convicts that you should be visiting. You know, I'd be rattling the cage. And you'd be praying for me, you know, hopefully that you'd save, you know, by God's grace, I'd be saved, right? It's amazing. And He changes you. And He reminds you and He teaches you anew. And He says, no longer does somebody else have to teach you. Well, you know, we do learn from one another because the Holy Spirit was in us and He's revealing and enlightening us, illuminating us to truths that are about who He is and who we are in Him, and that we can actually share that with others and we learn and grow in that. So, and if you look at some people, you know, they study the Bible and they know it really well. It's not just words, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that's going, taking these words and it's implanting in their hearts, so where your heart is transformed into something very, who changed your attitude towards sin. And also challenges you on that trust issue. So where is your heart? Where is your trust? Because that'll measure where you are with God. So if you're still going, why, and getting all rowdy with God and getting mad at Him and all this stuff, well, then you know that your trust in Him is still very small. I did this. Why don't I get that? I did this. Why don't I get this? Where's that contract, God? And God's going, it's all about grace now. You do it because you love me. And you love the people around you because I've forgiven you of your sins and I have saved you. I've drawn you out of that darkness, the kingdom of darkness that's going to send you to hell for eternity. And I took you out of there and I brought you into the kingdom of my Son, whom I love, whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. That's why we should love Him and come and worship Him and honor Him in our lives. So Jesus is the guarantor of all these promises. All He did on the cross guarantees, because He's in heaven, that in the order of Melchizedek, right? Forever and ever being our high priest, advocating before the Father for us. Once for all, died on the cross, came with His blood before the Father and said, these guys are clean. They're your family. He's the one that did that for us. All these things. He's our high priest. There's forgiveness. There's sanctification. There's salvation. There's justification. Powered by the Spirit, growing in the knowledge of God. Everlasting life. Every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. And more. That's what we have in Christ, and that's what he guarantees through that death on the cross that defeated the enemy and defeated death and overcame sin. He did that for us. See, if he was an earthly priest, he couldn't be a priest because he wasn't of a Levitical ancestry. So he had his ancestry is up in heaven, and he continuously advocates for us. See, the high priests here, they gave sacrifices for those people. And there's times when maybe a person kind of went away and gone, did he do that right? I don't know if he did that sacrifice, that ritual right, then my sins aren't forgiven. So there might be some type of, I'm not sure if he did a good job, or you might have a high priest that year that's a little bit iffy, you know, things like that. You know, this guy's not really right with the Lord. He's representing me. Oh, you see, here, it says this there in 7:26, there in Hebrews, it says, such a high priest must truly meets our needs. That's Jesus. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted from above the heavens. And then it says in 8:1, it says, and the main point of what we are saying is this, we do have such a high priest. We do have a high priest like this who's pure and blameless and holy and exalted in the heavens. We have him. So trust in him. Be confident he's there. See, it says later, he said, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Well, what's that about? Well, the work was, you know, you don't sit down until what? The work is done. It's finished completely. See, the earthly priests couldn't sit down. There was no chair in the sanctuary. They had to keep on, you know, they would do the sacrifice for one guy, and then they would go all the way back to the end of the line for the next people to come, and they would walk up, and they would slip throw another animal for those people. And then they go back to the end of the line. Do that. There is no stoppage. Because that blood, those things were just a shadows pointing to what was coming in the future, a better promise, a better a covenant that is in Christ alone. Christ is the covenant. His life, his blood, his death, his resurrection. That's the covenant that we have with him. Our priest, our high priest, forever. He did this for us. Amazingly, graciously. So, be confident. Stop getting frustrated. Though, I'm really speaking impossibilities for humans, right? Because I know I still get frustrated. I still get a little disappointed with God. But, and then I have to go back and remember the truth of who God is. See, if he was a mean-spirited God, we would have some big issues here. Actually, I think we would just be wiped out. No, God is good. He put this covenant up for us, a perfect, everlasting covenant for us. We can trust in him. And as we say, has been said, we can appropriate, we can take all those promises that he has for us, all the rights and privileges and authority that we have in Christ, we need to get to know. As you read the word, take those and live them, right? Trust in him. And then, you know, give our hearts to him and trust. You know, that's where it is. You can evaluate yourself. We were saying this morning, I was saying, if somebody came and walked beside me and wrote down everything I said and did and thought and all that stuff throughout just one day, you'd probably figure out where my heart is and how much I trust God. I might not come out so rosy. Sometimes on the road, you know, you go, oh, Lord! Slow guy, come on, Calvin, go faster. Come on. I don't want to go 35 in a 45 mile an hour zone. I want to go 55. Right, Mick? So all this happens in our lives, you know, but we can trust him. You know, and in all that, we can confidently share the good news with others of what he's done for us to save us. And we have this wonderful covenant that lives on today. So Act 2. Act 1 is all this, you know, the Old Testament preparing us. Act 2 looks like this. Therefore, my friends. Wait, you know what? You guys read it. 1, 2, 3. That means get your heart right with him, right? Put your trust in him alone. And continue.
Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life.
That's Act 2. I don't know about the first part. I like that grumbling part. Do you grumble? Yeah, I do. I grumble, but, you know, Act 2 is we don't have to grumble because we have what? We have Christ. We have the high priest in heaven. He's got it all. Yeah, we're going to go through some tough times. There's going to be iffy things going on in our lives and stuff like that. We're going to, in loved ones' lives, we're going to see them hurting and things like that. But you know what? We have to just come back to the basics of the truth. He is good. He is God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, unchangeable, holy God. So when we trust in that, all these other things that kind of come down around us, yeah, we can be concerned and pray about them, but we don't have to fret over them. And they don't have to take us down. Because we have this hope in Christ and trust in him that he's working these things out. It might not go to the way I'd like to plan it. Because if my plan is the Dodgers would win the World Series, the Lakers would win the basketball championship, and Dallas Cowboys would win Super Bowl until the year 2099. 2099. Oh, please. See, those are my plans. And then, you know, everybody else would be happy and healthy and all that stuff, and me too. All right? But God has his own plan. He shapes our lives through trials. He shapes others' lives as they watch your trials, how you respond. I was reading something Alistair was writing about death, how we approach death. We should approach it like Israel did, Jacob did. Before he died, he blessed his children, and he gave glory to God. That's how we should live and die, because we have a God we know we can trust in who's there for us. Every moment of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the hope that we have in you, Jesus. And help us to take this with us, Lord, in this world, because it is a hard world to live in. It really is. But we have you. And you are walking with us. And you've already walked through all of this stuff. You've suffered even more than we can even imagine. Even by coming down here as a baby that was suffering, because you're the King of Glory. You created this all. Lord, help us be patient. Help us be gracious. Help us be trusting in you and just to love you and to love others and not get all uppity and not get all fretful. Not get all anxious, and even when those things do happen, because they will, may we take them all to you in prayer. Yeah, with thanksgiving. And knowing that The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May we hold firmly to that, because you are ministering to us, and may we minister to you with our praises and thanksgiving, and may we minister to others as we hold out the word of life to them, the same hope that you have given us. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this word and the power of your Holy Spirit that continues to work within us. Oh, thank you that you gave us this new covenant that just works and has redeemed our lives, that convicts us from moment to moment of our sins, so we can come before you and get real with you and confess our sins and move on with you. So thank you, Father, for all you do, for your precious living word. And that's what it is. It is a living word because it is within us, written upon our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.